WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell, and here we are looking at the news stories around the North Shore today. Our guest today, we're going to check in with Kate Lucchini. She is the director of the Lynn Cultural District, and they have a big event called Rock the Block this Saturday. We'll talk about that with Kate here on the program as well. And Rick, before we get to the news stories, we also have word. This is a breaking story. There's going to be the Marblehead tennis teams are holding a car wash this weekend at the high school, nine to noon. We have a post up there on that. The coach sent us that information, so we are getting it up there. I mean, I know it's not quite as big as the primaries last night, but hey, it's important. We got to get those cars cleaned up for the summertime here.
Well, and the difference too, Bill, is unlike social media, what, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we're a credible source. So this is huge.
This car wash is happening. There's no doubt about it.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
This is real. This is not. We're not blowing smoke here.
Yeah, we're it's soap and water. That's what's on the menu for Saturday at Marblehead High School.
If you heard it here, you can believe it.
Yeah. Now, it'll probably rain Saturday, and they won't have the car wash, but who knows? But you know what it is? Actually, it's you know what they say? They say, this is my, I think my mother or grandmother would say that, you know, once you wash your car, you know it's going to rain the next day. So,
yep.
And that stuck with me over all these years. That's why I don't wash my car. I never wash my car. Well, that's not quite
true.
Yeah,
but it still rains, so yeah. Something's going wrong somewhere.
No, exactly. Well, you know, because you know it's going to rain, so why do it? You know, so, but I do wash it once in a while. So, Well, anyways, here we go with the news stories here. Rick, a story that we have been following because the Salem News has been following it is the traffic in Danvers. And Ethan Foreman writes another story today on that Route 62, Route 128 interchange. Let me just read the first little bit of it. But a fully protected left turn onto Route 128 North and other measures will be the topic of discussions among state highway and local officials Wednesday, so is that today, I guess, as they look to find ways to decrease crashes, ease congestion at the interchange. The system of ramps and lights was reconstructed as recently as 2012 as part of a $23 million state project. Danvers police have said many of the accidents that occur there now have only increased since then and typically involve courtesy crashes as a left turn onto the northbound ramp. What is that? I think people might wave somebody through, but then somebody in the other lane says, I didn't see him, and bang.
Yeah. Well, what happens is you expect the traffic to do a certain thing, and so you're looking ahead, left, right, or in the rearview mirror, and then suddenly somebody stops in front of you to let someone pass in front of them, even though you have the right of way, and it just screws everything up. Yeah, that's a courtesy crash.
Well, now you've got, here's a quote from Joan Lovely, Senator Joan Lovely. We cannot make it an improvement and make it worse, said State Senator Joan Lovely, who plans to attend Wednesday's meeting. Lovely credited the Mass DOT for quickly stepping up and addressing ways to fix the interchange, and State Rep. Ted Spiliotis of Danvers for getting the state to the table. So there you go. One more thing. Spiliotis said that he reached out to the state highway officials in response to the concerns from the Danvers Police Chief Patrick Ambrose. So anyway, so there's a hearing on that, and today is Wednesday, so I don't know if that is today or not. So we'll keep an eye on that.
I'm hoping I can get a hold of the chairperson of the Board of Selectmen in Danvers, Diane Langley, again, because she was really a prime mover in this, and that's good news that they're working on it so quickly. We got to find out what their secret is, Bill, so we can use that in local government next time we want something changed.
Well, definitely a model, and definitely, I mean, if you're a citizen of any part of the state and you hear about this stuff happening, and trust me, I think, you know, I'm one of these people. You know, I think we've been more creative in our highway designs in the last 10 years than I think we had been in the past. And sometimes that's a good thing. So I think sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But there have been a lot of improvements in different areas that, you know, really actually do help traffic flow. I think we just have a lot more traffic than we ever had. And then that study came out the other day, which says, wait 10 years, you're going to have much, much more traffic and stuff in the greater Boston area. So I just think that we have, a lot of things going on here. And And I don't know whether, any of these accidents are through distracted driving, whether, if that's at all possible, but who knows. But I will say what I was going to say, though, is that it's encouraging to have the state come back to the table in a way that seems to be a step in the right direction. So.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you have to admit you made a mistake.
You want people to be responsive and be listening to you, and that appears to at least be happening. We'll see what happens after this meeting.
Yep.
Oh, you don't like what we did? Well, put it right back the way we found it then.
Well, that actually happened in Gloucester several times. They've had lights in different places where they didn't have it before that. One was a place called Union Hill, which they've changed again. It's kind of weird, but another was over by the high school. And after a trial run of a month or so, the lights came down. That's happened several times in the history of Gloucester. So I think the thing you mentioned, Bill, is the fact that there are so many cars on the road and so many people have them, and the population increases, people moving to the North Shore. And, I think 128 opened up in 1958, and 128 was back then called a superhighway. Think about that.
Well, what I just had an idea for Danvers, what they should do at that intersection of Route 62 and 128. A little tip that we learned from that area, the Five Corners down in Danvers, or the 12 Corners, whatever that intersection is down by Town Hall. Let's just put stop signs there. Just make it four-way stops. Hey, Danvers, it works for you down at Town Hall. Four-way stop signs. Let's do it.
We've got to open up our communications because, I really would like to know what the ugliest street is in your town or your city. And the other thing is there a crazier intersection than that one? I'm pretty sure, when I said it yesterday, there are five streets that go into a four-way stop, and that just messed with my head.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. And then really, the way we came in, there was another street off to the side with another stop sign, too. Well, anyway, I the other thing, too, Rick, is that, I liken it to my old hometown of Burlington, Vermont. When I grew up, there were a couple of streets in the city where you could drive down 30-mile-per-hour streets, and you just cruise down those streets, and there you were. Now, every corner, they put a stop sign there. You know what I'm saying? And some of these corners are not cross streets either. They just put a stop sign there. And I guess it slows traffic down, but maybe lower the speed limit, enforce it, do something like that. But I look at stop signs. We need to have them. And, I really do try to actually stop at stop signs because I think that's what you're supposed to do. That's a little bit new in Massachusetts, but not too well enforced. But on the other hand, I think that they also waste gas unless you really need them. Those five corners in Danvers, you need every one of those stop signs. Trust me. Okay. All right. Now let's get off the roads and get back onto the water. There's a story on the front page of the item today by Thomas Grillo. We talked about the Lynn Ferry, and here is U.S. Rep. Seth Moulton piling on. Yesterday, he joined the Lynn delegates in criticizing the Baker administration failing to fund the Lynn Ferry for the North Shore. So, reliable ferry service has been proven to help spur economic development, said the Salem Democrat in a statement. That's why my team worked hard to secure funding for the new 149-foot passenger vessel. So, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, there's always this room in the budget. This is the time, Rick, we're into June now. We're coming right down to crunch time. So the budget, there could be a little bit of maneuvering of the budget, but still, it looks very bleak for this Lynn Ferry for this year. See what else we got here. Those are some of the stories making news today on the North Shore. What do you got up in the Cape Ann area?
Not a lot on Cape Ann, Bill. Big thing. The most important thing I think we should know, I know that you're a lover of fine cuisine. There'll be a new restaurant opening in Gloucester on June 17, and it is in a building owned by Braga Management, but Mr. Braga does not own this restaurant. It's called Tonno, T-O-N-N-O, and it's Italian for tuna. So I'm guessing tuna will probably be on the menu, but it does open on June 17, and it's on the west end of Main Street.
All right. So the name of the restaurant is Tuna in Italian, huh?
Yeah, okay. Tonno. I probably pronounced Tonno. I'm not sure how it's pronounced in Italian, but it is T-O-N-N-O. And if you want to make a reservation, you can call 978-879-4795 and be among the first to do so.
Gotcha. All right. And let me think here. I don't know. I don't really see a lot of other breaking news stories in the area. All these construction projects are continuing here on the North Shore for the highways. And we do invite folks that if you'd like to email us, you can do so by emailing us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Also, do follow us on Twitter because we do update the news throughout the day. We'll do some retweets, keep people informed on weather, storms, anything like that that's coming up. We can retweet things, and a bunch of severe storms rolled through the area yesterday, Rick. I don't know if your area. I looked on the radar a number of times, and it looked like the Gloucester area and Newburyport area got hit a few times, as did other areas around the greater Boston area, and it appears we got some more storms in our forecast today. But we also, speaking of storms, we also had another round of primaries nationally in a bunch of states last night or yesterday. But I guess the two big ones were New Jersey and California, and Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side took both New Jersey and California. Late call for the California primary, but as of the data today, it's a double-digit lead for Mrs. Clinton over Bernie Sanders in California.
I still remember, excuse me, Bill, I think it was in 1968, I was studying for a final exam on June 6th. The night before, I watched Robert Kennedy out in California say, okay, now it's on to Chicago, and then he was assassinated, and I still remember that California primary because of that, but I believe it has the most delegates. It's a huge primary, so it is, despite the fact many people don't want to acknowledge the fact, a historic day where the United States has its first woman presumptive presidential candidate.
Yeah, and I think I listened to a little bit of the commentary last night. I actually tried to tuck myself in and go to bed before the votes were counted in California, obviously. I think it was, I don't know who it was that said this last night on TV, but clearly a little bit of the excitement, I think, of having the first woman nominee might have been worn off by having the first African-American major party nominee 8 years ago. Because that's really historic, and then you look at some polling, and some of the young women are not all as enthralled with Mrs. Clinton as women that say are 30 and above or 40 and above in that age group. But on the other hand, definitely, again, it's a checkoff, it's a milestone, it's a marker, and our country's been way behind other free countries in the world for doing that. Britain, Germany. And other France has never had. Has France ever had a female prime leader?
I
don't know. I don't think so. But so let's just stop there before I get myself into any more hot water. But
I watched on CNN for a while. I watched one person try to defend Donald Trump's comments about the quote Mexican unquote judge who was dealing with his one of his lawsuits. And it cracked me up, one guy trying to defend Donald Trump's racist statements, and he didn't do a very good job, needless to say.
Yeah, well, and we'll see how all that plays out. And I did watch Bernie Sanders' speech last night, and Bernie Sanders, it was recorded. I watched it this morning. I did not stay up till like 2 a.m. and watch it when it actually happened, I believe, just about 2 a.m. Eastern time, but... In his speech, it was interesting what he said. He was very, very unifying at the beginning of the speech in the sense that he said that Donald Trump cannot be elected president. But yet, on the other hand, at the second part of the speech is we're on to Washington. I think it's Washington State, which is next, and then we're on to Philadelphia for the convention. And so, those two things kind of are a little contradictory. But I do understand he's supposed to be meeting with President Obama on Thursday. So we'll see what happens there. Actually, one of the big stories out of this thing, and we'll drop it right after this, Rick, is the Associated Press had that story. And some people are saying that they cooked it up with the Clinton campaign to release the story that she had enough delegates. And I don't know what that might have done to voting out in California, because all the polls had it a little bit different out in California than the way it turned out. But and I heard Dennis Kucinich on the news this morning of the kind of progressive former Cleveland mayor and congressman questioning the Associated Press's role in all of that as well. But obviously they put the story out there, and clearly, you know, actually anybody can add it up and figure out that their story was basically true, in the sense that no matter what happened in New Jersey, no matter what happened in California, Hillary Clinton was going to have enough delegates, because all she needed was just a handful after the election. But to pop the story out before the primaries was a little bit questionable at that point. But we'll see what happens. So I don't know how upset Bernie was by all of that. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting the rest of the way. And I did watch a little bit of Trump's speech last night, how it was scripted. And I don't know. I mean, I don't like to really express. I'm neither Republican nor Democrat, but I found it extremely flat for Donald Trump. It was an incredibly flat speech.
Yeah, I did not actually see it. I was watching something else at the time, but I did see clips of it. And what struck me when I watched the clips, I heard a number of pundits say, "Oh, it was a good speech. You know, he hit the right tone. He hit the right messages." I don't disagree with that. Actually, Hillary Clinton's speech last night was actually her best speech that I think she's had in a long time. It was less shrill, very calm, very just more of a discussion than an oratorical event, or whatever you might call it. But it was a much better speech. But I noticed when I watched the news clips of Donald Trump's, he was doing the teleprompter for the very first time.
Right.
And now maybe I'm just watching that, knowing that he's going to use the teleprompter for the very first time. But it looked like he looked left into the teleprompter, swung his head, looked right into the other teleprompter. It just didn't come off right. He's a professional television actor. He'll figure this piece out. But you're right. It was just not the typical Donald Trump. And for a lot of folks, that might not be a bad thing, that it's not the typical Donald Trump. But we'll see how it plays out. The other political news is apparently he's going to be delivering some sort of comments on Monday regarding Hillary Clinton. And that ought to be interesting. That's for sure. So, all right. Well, Rick, I say let's just do a quick note on sports here on the program. We do have on our post here today on North Shore Today, we do have a list of the events going on today, a few of the events going on today in the tournament. Lynn Classical lost a really tough baseball game. A kid from Burlington hits a walk-off three-run home run to give them a two-run win over Classical yesterday, after Classical had rallied back to take the lead. Clearly the Rams were underdogs in that baseball game. Swampscott last night goes into the fifth inning with the Austin Prep. Then the rains come and the lightning come, and they had to stop that. So they'll resume that today. And one other game here. Oh, the Danvers softball team is in action. They're at Tewksbury today, and the St. Mary's softball taking on Amesbury tonight at Breed. So there's a bunch of games. We got them listed here on our website, but we also have all the scores up from yesterday as well. And the Beverly Boys Lacrosse wins again, 21-1 now in the season as they advance on. And of course, games are going to get tougher and tougher for them. So we'll see how things go there.
Manchester Essex is still alive in a bunch of sports. Bill, their boys lacrosse team losing last night. They're eliminated, but baseball continues. They will be traveling to Haverhill to play Lowell Catholic. The tennis team continues. The girls' tennis will play Manchester Essex. And Gloucester softball will play Swampscott on Friday at 6:30 p.m. in Lowell, as Swampscott won a big game last night over North Reading. And interesting, I do have a post with John DeCastro, the Gloucester girls softball coach, that I will get posted today. And he reminds us of the fact that Gloucester and Swampscott split two really close games this year, Gloucester winning 3-2 in the first, and then Swampscott winning 1-0 in the second. So that should be a tremendous game. The only problem is it's up in Lowell, which I don't understand. You couldn't play that game in Lynn at any rate, or somewhere around here. I will have that post up later on with John DeCastro, the Gloucester girls softball coach.
All right, so that'll do it for us for today. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us today on North Shore Today. Just ahead, we'll feature an interview with Kate Lucchini, the director of the Cultural District in the city of Lynn. This is MSONewsSports.com. Joining us at this time is Kate Lucchini, the director from Downtown Lynn Cultural District. And Kate, you have Rock the Block coming up this Saturday afternoon. Tell us about that.
We do. It's a festival with a little bit of everything, and it's right here in Downtown Lynn in the Cultural District. It's going to have five live bands, all local, including headliner Tiger Man Woe, who's a big hit. They played Boston Calling this past year. It's also going to have a ton of family activities that are going to take place at the Lynn Museum Park. Food, Bentwater Brewery Beer Tent is going to be there. Bentwater is a great new addition to Lynn, already a huge favorite of locals in the area.
Yeah. And again, this is from 1 to 7. What do people have to do to participate in this other than to show up?
Really, people just need to show up. I mean, we have a Facebook event set up, and if you go to Facebook and check out the Downtown Lynn Cultural District, and that'll give you ideas of where to park, like the MBTA Garage here in Lynn. But really, once you get here, you can just enjoy the day. The music and entertainment is all free. We're going to have a food truck from Cafe 39, a local place that has banh mi sandwiches and bubble tea. We have some other food available. John's Roast Beef is going to do a slider to cider eating competition, real Coney style, at 5 p.m. on Saturday. And basically, it's just going to be activities all day. Oh, and we're going to have a bunch of artists and makers who are going to be vendors. We're closing Mount Vernon Street, and it's going to be an open-air market throughout the day from 1 to 7.
Great. Give me a quick note on the Lynn Cultural District itself, a little description of what it is and what's involved with the Lynn Cultural District.
Yes, the Cultural District was established about 4 years ago, and we were one of the first state-designated cultural districts here in Massachusetts. And we were selected, and we applied, and we went through a rigorous process. But the reason we were recognized is because Downtown Lynn has such a rich mix of cultural assets. We have, you know, museums and galleries and the auditorium and places like the Diner and High Rock Tower. So really, between all of those things, Lynn's a really vibrant place to have something like a festival.
Good. All right, well, Kate, good talking with you. Best of luck on the event this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Kate Lucchini, the director of the Downtown Lynn Cultural District, here with us on MSONewsSports.com.